This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. All you gotta do is trust me. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Sick. All right. Arthur's in the house. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studios, a guest we've been angling to get on for a long ass time. Guys, fucking get pumped for a comedian, writer, podcaster from the You're Making It Worse podcast, Elliot Glazer.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, please, dude. Any chance I get. I want to be like Long Island guy who just brings anyone who's made it to Hollywood via Long Island. Ugh. Makes a stop here.
And yeah. You, me, that's it. Eddie Murphy, Busta Rhymes.
Alec Baldwin, my favorite SNL cast
Alec Baldwin. Jim Brewer.
Matt Rogers.
Matt Rogers. Oh, my God. Who else? Jim Brewer is from there. Bill O'Reilly.
Bill Disgusting. O'Reilly, yeah. He went to Bill O'Reilly actually is from Long Island and went to the same college as me.
Oh, really?
Which is a very weird, like...
Wait, didn't he go to Harvard?
No, he did for his master's, but he went to Marist for his undergrad. Wow. Where all the Catholic Long Island kids go.
Right, Marist.
What's crazy is that I'm the second or third most famous Marist alum behind Bill O'Reilly and Rick Smits, the dunking Dutchman. I'm just assuming I'm right in
Wait,
there.
Where is Marist?
It's in Poughkeepsie, New York, like in the Hudson Valley. Right, right. By Vassar, maybe.
Right. God, I wonder, it's so weird when I meet people from like Westchester or Poughkeepsie or whatever. It's like they have there's like no disgusting Long Islandness to them.
It's very, because my wife is from Westchester. So we have this thing where she looks upon Long Island with disdain.
Yes.
We look at Westchester as upstate New York.
Yes.
Right? Her family hates that my family goes, are you going upstate to Tiffany's?
Yeah.
It's like, they don't call it upstate.
No, it's not upstate. It's downstate.
The Bronx is upstate to Long Island.
Exactly. But like Craig Rowan and Julie Klausner are from like Westchester. And they're both, I've told them both, I'm like, you guys are so like clean. Like you have regular accents, you're clean people.
Yes.
There's no like scummy undercarriage, you know?
Westchester somehow avoids all that. Yet to me, it's equidistant from the city and doesn't have beaches. So to me, it's worse.
It's bizarre. It's actually bizarre. But I just find it to be like our like cleaner, prettier, you know, more together, like sibling.
Right. Yeah. I feel like Westchester is the oldest of three siblings amongst New Jersey, Long Island, and Westchester.
And they're like well behaved.
Yes.
And like we're disgusting.
Westchester is more Connecticut and Long Island is more New Jersey. Like it those is are very the two rivals. I mean,
but then it's also fun. Yeah, exactly. Long Island is Jersey. It's the same.
Same shit, different toilet. Everyone from Jersey hates Long Island. Everyone from Long Island hates New Jersey. Like anyone's like, oh, we're going to the shore up in Jersey. I'm like, why?
Right.
We have a beach right here, motherfucker.
What's wrong with you? Meanwhile, it's the same.
It's exactly the same. And that's what's really funny, too, is that when Jersey Shore... So we're talking about Long Island. Elliot's from Long Island. I'm from Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jersey Shore came out, that felt so familiar.
Oh, I was... I swear to you, like... I felt in that moment like I can't believe that the rest of the world, like truly the rest of the world... is now not only in on this secret, but more so in on the secret and like appreciative of it. Appreciative.
Right.
And me and my friends who I grew up with were like, we can't believe that these imbeciles are now getting...
Are like representing the Northeast.
Yes. And getting applauded for it, for being the most, like the grossest people that like we grew up around.
Yeah, it's like sort of like that... If we're going back to like the 50s, it's like that peak jock.
Yes.
Like the Guidos on Long Island are jocks who don't play sports.
Exactly.
So they sort of have the attitude of jocks, like the alphaness of their jocks.
Yes, very toxic.
Very toxic masculinity. But on top of it, they don't have like teams or any responsibility greater than their own. You know what I mean?
You can take it even a step further and there are these alpha, you know, macho, machismo-focused jocks, And yet they're also the same Guidos who get their nails done.
Yes.
And pedicures.
I never...
And whenever, waxed eyebrows.
Whenever a Guido was homophobic, to me, but in my mind, I would be like, you have no idea
you
that you are
8%.
Yes, exactly. You are like back to back to a gay man doing the exact same things going, we are nothing alike.
And it
I'm
is
like,
insane.
The gym, skincare, clothing.
I'm not like, kidding. My Alana, my sister, would just be like, when we were like surrounded by those people, she'd be like, they're the fags. Right. and she didn't say it in a way. She was like, they want to call you a fag. Like they, I didn't get like bullied or anything, but nevertheless, it's like, they want to call other guys like fags. It's like, you guys are, right. You guys have like the shaved head or whatever, or like
you guys
tan
have weekly haircuts you guys,
yeah. Eyebrows. They have drag queen eyebrows.
They're going tanning. They're exercising more than the only people that exercise more than Guidos are gay men.
Gay guys in Chelsea. And it's like, you think you have nothing in common with them? Like,
that's what's crazy. They're so...
You're right there. You're literally right there.
Yeah.
Almost to the point where I'm like, do you even like pussy? Like, do you even like it?
I feel like a lot of those Guidos, you'd be like, do you know how you can definitely get laid every
yes.
night when you go to the club?
Yes.
If you were gay.
Go to Chelsea. They're yeah. like, and they're like, I don't go to the city. What's wrong with you?
Oh, that's how I explain Long Island to everyone that doesn't get it. I'm like, put it this way, the type of person who can live 20 to 40 minutes away from the greatest metropolis, the greatest city possibly in the world. People fly from all over the yep. world to visit that.
Yeah.
And they won't take a 30-minute train ride yeah. because it's crowded.
They resent it.
And there's always a facsimile on Long Island. Like, what am I going to do? Go into Per Se? No, I can go down to fucking Rock and Roll. You know, like they have like some weird place they love in Massapequa
crazy.
Park.
Yeah. It's a real mind fuck growing up there and getting older and having perspective.
Yes.
And getting to the point. But I had it young. And I don't mean that. And I don't say that in a boastful way. It was actually, honestly, it was quite like, it felt stifling because I couldn't figure out where I was ultimately in the idea that, like, as a kid, I was like, well, of course I'm going to take the train into the city all the time. And like, and it wasn't even just because I was like gay. It was just like, I wanted something to do and places to, you know?
Yeah.
And to have,
well, also on Long Island, if you have like, if you're at least in the 80s and 90s, if you're creative or have bigger aspirations, that is gay.
It is gay. Yes. Like, you're gay. You're fucking gay.
Because I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm straight. I'm yeah. a straight white male. I'm
right.
gay. I got as much privilege as it comes. And I was gay on
yeah.
Long Island.
They're like, what do you think? You want to city do what? See a show? What's wrong with you?
Wait, you don't want to live in the same town as your mom when you graduate? You're like, no.
You don't want to live in a basement and call that an apartment? I moved downstairs, but I have my own private entrance, so it's different.
I had that joke me and my buddy did a web series about Long Island. The joke was, nah, my mom rents a house above my apartment.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. That's right.
It's like the most Long Island.
She's my roommate.
I got to help out with my mom. She lives
oh,
upstairs. She
God.
Pays for everything and does the dishes and cooks me food, but I got to help out. You
it's
know?
It is. It's an unbelievable place.
Yeah. Where are you from on Long Island again?
Well, I'm from Smithtown, but
yes.
they call it Smithtown.
Yeah.
Because the accent is disgusting.
Yeah, Smithtown.
Smithtown. What? Smithtown. Yeah.
I always find another thing that a lot of Long Islanders have in common is like, because I think Jewish upbringings around the same time is very similar to Italian upbringings.
Very, very, almost indifferent.
Yeah.
I mean, like, almost, not indifferent, almost identical.
Yes, except... This is so weird to like my family. Jews were aspirational.
Mm.
Like we were always like, well, you know, the Kohlsteins, they sent
yes, of course.
David to Duke,
yes.
you know, and you're like,
yes.
and it was like, we can be like them too.
Yes,
you know, they
course.
Care
yes.
about their children.
The Pacmans for me, it was the Pacmans, the Spivaks.
Yeah. And it's like always just like
Molly did.
Yeah, you got to copy them. It's like,
yep.
and my mom is like, it's not keeping up with the Joneses. It's like keeping up with the Freedmans.
Yes, exactly.
Well, don't use Freedmans in Long Island. Because...
No, not on Long Island.
No.
You don't want to capture that. No, but it's like, you know, yes, it was Molly. Did Molly Spivak is in Israel?
And yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay. I don't care.
So did you know that he actually saved up all of his money for mowing lawns for an entire summer and was able to have a down payment on a new car? You're like,
did you know?
Well, that's fucking great. Okay,
great,
I blew
yes.
my lifeguarding money on DVDs.
Oh, my
all right. I don't want to hear it, Mom.
Oh, my God.
I bought 2 DVDs a week for an entire summer. I regret it. Okay?
Oh, my God. Even that, like, I worked, my sister and I actually worked together at, like, a golf club.
Oh, my God. This is that's the next sitcom special.
Yeah, it was, I mean, we worked at this golf club, And again, it's like, I see Long Island as like a, it's like the real world through a very distinct prism.
Yeah, well, because so, it's weirdly like they, you know, what do they say? It's not the melting pot, but it's really the mixing bowl. Oh. That's kind of what Long Island is, where yes. it's like there's a bunch of cultures that are all collide in Long Island,
yeah.
but they don't blend.
They're all white.
Yeah.
They're all based yeah. in whiteness.
Well, it's all town to town. Like town Roosevelt to town. Is like the black town. And yes. then there's like a white town. Then there's a Jewish town. Then yes. there's a black town. Then
Freeport.
A, yeah. Freeport
Massapequa.
Is where, that's where I was born. I lived in Freeport until I was 13. Then I moved to Belmore. So oh, I grew wow. up okay. in like the black and Hispanic town and then moved to like the Jewish white oh, middle God. Class town.
That's yeah. where my dad's business was in Belmore.
Oh, yeah, Belmont, Belmore Road, Newbridge Road.
In Belmore Road.
All right, nice.
Do you watch Long Island Medium?
No, I can't.
Oh, that's, I love it. I love it. It's because it's so fascinating in that they're trying to build a show around a clairvoyant, whatever the fuck she is, a psychic, I don't medium, know, whatever. Yeah. So she's a medium, right? Now, understand that, like, she is distinctly Long Island. So the joke is, or the joke or the hook is that she's, you know, regional. She has a very specific regional appeal. For me, the rest of the show then is most entertaining because they're trying to make Long Island look like a quote unquote regular place. But it's like no other people in the country look like those people. Nobody else in the country sounds like those people. And to top it all off, they all introduce themselves for some reason or another. They keep in the footage of where they're from. So it'll be like, my name's Diane. I'm from Shirley, or like, yeah. you know, my name is Diana or Deanna or whatever. My name, and I'm from Massapequa Park. And it's like, who watching in Idaho would cares. Know the difference between Massapequa and Shirley? Right. Nobody knows or cares. But then watching the show, it is fascinating in that she will read people on Long Island, do cold reads or scheduled reads. And, you know, she's in Hicksville and she's in like a very banal looking Hicksville house, but she's like saging and she's like, I have to sage to clear the energy. And then she'll read these people.
Also,
and
her haircut is as like
insane.
As the show is like made by and for my mom's friends.
Yes. And it's fascinating because they're like the original.
I picture the grips are all women in like black flood pants and like a Chico's open yes. sparkly cardigan holding yeah, boom mics
with
and
like
shit.
Platform flip flops.
Guys, these Twizzlers are crafty.
Oh my God.
Guys, these Twizzlers are crafty. Do you want some?
Twizzlers. She like reads these people and they're like, they're, if they're from Long Island, it's like you and I would both know that is not acting, that these people are like, oh my God, she said butterflies, you know, but she'll
and,
do
Karen she was 12 and she had a tattoo of butterflies on her lower back,
right,
you know?
She'll say, who's, she'll say like, I'm seeing, did he call you daddy's little girl? And they're like, oh my God. But it's so, it's
did
so.
You, did you ever catch him drinking Mike's hard lemonade in the basement? It's always like, Tim Dillon, another Long Island comedian, has yes. a lot of funny jokes. One, he does the Long Island meme. Anyone here has been had a family member die in a jet ski accident? 8 people raised their hands.
Oh my God. It's so true. It's so fucking weird. And, but ultimately, like the idea of like, the generalities of it all are so funny, but there's like footage of her. I think they got rid of it as the opening footage, but it was her like walking through a garden and it was like, she's like looking at statues and they're clearly like angel and cherub statues from like fucking Kohl's.
Oh yeah, as my dad used to call it, there was a neighbor who had a bunch of shit on his yeah. front lawn. My dad said, well, if it isn't the Italian king of lawn ornaments. We had like one neighbor that he's like, yeah, look who's walking the dog. It's the Italian king of lawn ornaments.
But that's what it is. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's just so not, it's so clearly anti-spiritual in that like there's no real thing going on here. But I would never watch the show if she were if she was from Maryland.
Right.
I would
right.
never watch
the
show
appeal.
Ever.
Yeah. yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, what it because it I can't believe there's not a Real Housewives of Long Island.
I know. Well, there was a show called Princesses of Long Island that
okay.
lasted one season that my friend Michael and I are obsessed with. And the girl, like the quote unquote breakout star. I mean, they were all, it was a crazy show because the main character for the most part was this girl who was like so Jewish and she was like 30 and her whole, narrative or her whole storyline was like, why am I not married? I'm an old maid. And it's like, no, you're 30.
Yeah. But you're only like, old on Long Island. Exactly. You're like, you can move to the city and be like a CEO in a couple of years.
Exactly. And it was like, that was what was so bizarre about it, that she's like in Jericho and it's like, everyone calls me an old maid because I'm not married. It's like, what? And then, but there was another girl on the show who is, I think she's probably no larger than 5 feet tall, if that. And she is the most Jewish human being I've ever seen. And she's actually like adorable and funny to listen to. But it's like she's a, you know, she's like a 5 foot tall, like booby. And watching her is astounding.
I love that. There are those stereotypes about the young women on Long Island where because my junior high featured three high schools. So it was like Grand Avenue featured Belmore, JFK, and Calhoun, which were like the South Merrick, South Belmore, the even more Jewish schools.
Yes.
And I remember in seventh grade, lots of girls having deviated septum issues. In
oh
like
my
junior
God.
High.
Yes. Everyone's like, excuse me, I'll be back
in
6 weeks.
Off.
Right.
It's right after I got my bar mitzvah money. Yes. Now I'm going to get that deviated septum surgery I've always wanted.
Without fail during the summers, without fail, they come back to school with like, I just look a little different.
Hey, Rachel.
Hi, Sarah. Is that you?
Hey. Oh, it was either that or it was either get rid of your sleep apnea or get a white Beamer M3.
Oh, God. Ew.
That was the joke, is that your name was Rachel, you drove a white Beamer on Long Island. It was almost like a one-to-one. Like there was
or like with the guys, it was always like a big ugly Mustang.
Big Mustangs, ugly Mustangs. And then like the non-douchey Long Island car that everyone really wanted was Jettas. Right?
Jettas.
Where yep. It was like, I was cool, I wanted a Jetta.
Always
like, that was like the budding hipster
Jetta,
car.
A Jetta. I want a Jetta. I'll look cute in it.
Because it was like a cheap Audi or a cheap Lexus.
Oh my God.
You know,
it
felt like you were getting a cool car, but not yes. exactly.
I remember my mom got one. It's okay. My mom got one and hated it. She was like, such a piece of shit. And she felt bad because it was, you know, German.
Yeah.
And she's right. Like, what did I do?
Yeah, maybe Jewish families should not be purchasing Volkswagen.
Yeah, that was a mistake. Wagon. It was cursed the moment we got it.
Did you do this when you got your first car? Immediately take it down to the Ocean Avenue, Jones Beach highway and drive like 90 miles an hour.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, that's like the thing because it's like almost lawless down there. We took my friend's Jetta down there and went like 100 miles an hour in the car and shit a brick. You're like 18 years old. Like, this is like how kids die. It's like a legend. Like, that's like a famous way for children to die. We got a car and immediately we're like, let's go.
Gotta go fast. I gotta go fast.
And you just go down to take Wantagh Parkway down to Ocean Parkway.
Wantour.
And just fucking blast it, bro. Open her up.
I think Ken Marino told me that's like his memories of like his like, because he did my live show and we've, you know, become friendly since then. And I'm like, how are you so like clean? Like he's not tainted and like Guido.
He comes across as alpha, but maybe because if you compare him only to the state.
Yes.
Like if you only compare him to like David Wayne, Michael Ian Black, and Michael Showalter, you're
like
Ken Marino's an NFL linebacker.
Exactly. Meanwhile, he's like the sweetest, most
he's the
like,
nicest guy.
Nicest anti like compassionate masculinity, I guess you'd call it.
He's got just, like dad masculinity.
He's the best.
Yeah.
And I think he was telling me that, yeah, that he like that's what his like his like best memories are like driving down the Wantagh Expressway. Wantour.
That's really funny.
Also,
yeah.
when you compare like taking the train from Long Island Railroad versus Grand Central,
it's crazy.
I mean, it is absolutely outrageous how different it is.
The dream thing you should do is take the Long Island Railroad to Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden concert, because the train ride there and back is wild. It's
wild.
Like New Orleans.
It is literally like Mardi Gras. Yes. But then if you're going somewhere and you're taking Grand Central Station, it's like literally the
it's
hush.
Like a Wes Anderson movie.
The architecture, the quiet hush.
How many people are in Seersucker?
It's insane. The Hudson Line. Line, you know,
because that was my wife's train line when we were just dating.
Oh, really?
We were both living in the city. Her family lived off the Metro North. My family lived off the Long Island Railroad.
It
so
could
it was like,
not be any more different.
No.
One smells like Auntie Anne's. Everyone smells like buttered pretzels and cigarettes. And like, there's no, they,
there's like rolling tall boys, tall boys spilling in a paper
gambling, alcoholics, men and women, like
a borderline homeless dude with like a huge bike with a bunch of newspapers tied to it, and he's like trying to wedge it in. Like,
I mean, it is astounding how different that is, and how specifically man-made and cultural it is to compare these two huge travel hubs in New York City and look at the stark cultural differences between one and the other, because they are so stark.
I'm stereotyping here, but I would guarantee this, this is an accurate representation and also speaks to a bigger thing. I guarantee you there are more newspapers being read per person on the Metro North than on the Long Island Railroad. Because the last few times I rode the railroad at like commuter hours, like when I was visiting my mom or home for whatever reason, I heard two separate times a person talking way too loud on their phone, and someone going after them, and then it becoming like a huge argument.
A
two separate times. You're guaranteed a fight on the Long Island.
Excuse me. Hey, all right, look, we all got a fucking commute, all right?
There's literally no such thing as a quiet car. Quiet car? What are you talking about?
And someone's just on the phone going, we just passed Rockville Center.
It is just, I got to tell you, like, honestly, it's like, I commuted for 1 year after college. Commuted for a year. I'm telling you, I honestly can't imagine seeing people more miserable than I saw on the Long Island Railroad every day, getting on, looking like death.
Yeah, I think like that commuter life is hard on anybody.
Anybody.
But Long Island specific, I think it's because they don't want to go to the city. It feels like those kind of people, a lot of people don't want, I'm overgeneralizing, but I feel like, if you wanted to live in the city, you could go to the city.
Like, I think so. I don't know. I think it's like, and I wasn't, just out of college when I was doing it, but it was like, why would they choose to, like, I'm just doing this to save money for a year.
Right.
Why are they choosing to like do this life? I watch House Hunters pretty religiously.
I'm getting a nice slice of your TV viewing.
Oh my God,
have you watched Long Island Princesses? Well.
That was the best. But I watch House Hunters pretty religiously. And there was an episode.
There's not another way to watch it, by the way.
Well, not religiously.
You can only watch it.
Oh my God, I know. And they pump out like hundreds and hundreds of episodes.
You have to be like a true acolyte to consume.
You really do. I mean, truly, but you do. But I watch it pretty religiously, and they did like it was almost like a gift from above. They gave me my friend Seth was visiting from New York. We grew up together, and there was a House Hunters episode that took place literally in Patchogue with a couple who
Patchogue.
They're dressing up like adults, quote unquote, but they're like in their late 20s. Their names are like, I swear to you, Ray and Stephanie. Ray was a plumber, and he was like in his late 20s, and they were so like resigned by default to their lives that they didn't even they would never even understand the idea of like changing it up, of like taking a leap in some way or another.
Right.
And so they're literally like, my name is Ray and Stephanie. They look like they were dressing up as adults. I want a house that's like a split level. No, she said, I want a house that's like, has colonial charm. And he was like, I swear to you, he said, I like a split level because when you get home, you get to look at the stairs and go, I can go upstairs. That's nice. That's nice that he could go upstairs or downstairs. And they were so depressing, so deeply depressing that I swear to you, they were like, we want to stay in Patchogue because it's blooming. It's a nice downtown and it's close to our parents.
Oh,
it's like, yeah, but they're trying to like
it's
put
all
it through
20
the
minutes
prism.
Away. Everything's
exactly.
20 minutes on Long Island.
And she didn't want to live in a certain neighborhood because it was 10. She said it would add 10 minutes to her drive to work in. I think it was like dental supplies.
That's so there's something about Long Island. And I'm sure this is actually I feel like also. When I have Long Island people on to talk about the Long Island, other people always tweet back and like, it's actually really like that in my small.
Yes.
I feel like a lot of it is like enclosed communities
totally.
Sort
people
of have a lot
leave,
of
people who stay close to home, who are kind of afraid of exiting or exploring the larger world, which I understand. I understand it and I have empathy for
it. And I think now that I'm in my late 30s and I'm kind of coming around the other side, like my wife and I are talking about having kids and stuff, and our siblings do have kids and our friends back. Now I see the the allure of being near your parents, yes. where it's kind of like an insane thing that I'm like, shit, we're actually going to be doing this on our own.
Yes, yeah. And absolutely.
And I see that allure, but that wasn't as high of a priority as me as like seeing more of, like for me, it's always just like, I'm going to live in whatever city has the best restaurants.
Yes.
Like, just tell me where the best of, I like food. I like going out. Tell me where the best of those are. And that's where I'm going to never have savings so I can live there.
Well, I try so hard to push my own parents who still live in Smithtown to like explore and like try different things and do stuff, and they listen to me, my sister and I both, they listen to us and they take up those suggestions, and they very regularly are in the city for like shows, or I mean they come to, you know, our comedy shows, but they'll go to like plays and museums, and it's like, yeah, that to me is the right way to do it.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, yes.
Because otherwise, if you move, I don't know, if my parents moved into the city, you know, it would be a different story. I mean, they could do it,
right.
But I think they're in their 60s. They're creatures of comfort.
Yes.
And so I understand what
there is something like, there is like Long Island used to mean, I think, like way back before even our parents were, it used to mean like a life with a house and a yard, and I can still commute into the city where I work. But then I think there's this other layer of people, and you, the Ray, the plumber guy, remind me of some people I went to school with, and I'm assuming are in every small town. When they're like 17, they're like, you know, if I get in the Suffolk County Police Department, I can retire by the time. Like they're 17, and they're talking about like you can retire at 42, making $95,000 a year.
Retiring.
And you're like, what? And you're like, what? Well, what do you want to do? And it's like, well, think about that. Then I can have a house, I can have a family, and I got this job. I'm like, well, a cop is a weird job to just kind of like fall into, because you get a gun and people, you know, that's a dangerous job and this, that. And it's like, yeah, but you know, then you could be done in 20 years. Because I remember my mom always being like, you should take the cop test. It was like a thing on Long Island.
Oh my
like
God.
For blue collar families, it's like take the cop test. I'm like, I don't think a cop is a job. if you don't want to be a cop, actually, I think I've said this on the podcast before, if you truly don't want to be a cop, those are the people the police should recruit.
Yes.
If you really want to be a cop, that should be a strike against
that's being a red cop. That's a red alert.
A red flag for a cop is someone who really wants to be a cop.
And
that's
like,
the person that I'm like, no, you shouldn't be a cop. Go.
Bro. It's time to go to the gym, dog. We got to get to the gym. Grab your big-ass smartphone and put it in your pocket and hopefully don't shatter it while you're doing concentration curls on the fucking preacher machine, bro. Well, no, don't worry about me, dude, okay? All right? Phones have intertwined themselves into every one of our waking moments. Yes, that's right. Phones, they're killing us. We carry them with us everywhere. But we need them. We want all the fun of what's on the smartphone, but it's getting crazier and crazier to carry that around. Palm, from the makers of Palm Pilot, aka my first smartphone, came with a stylus. Boy, was I cool. Palm isn't a replacement for your smartphone. It's connected to it. It syncs with your existing smartphone, so all your info is seamlessly on there, except the Palm is the size of a credit card. It fits in your wallet or your pockets. So rather than holding a huge phone, you tuck it into your pocket and you do whatever, you know, you got your Wi-Fi, your Android OS, the full Google Play app system, 4G, two cameras, everything you want in a smartphone, but slimmed down and hooked up. So, you know, bring that with you while you go to the gym. That'll be less of a profile in your pocket. You can run with it easier than having to buy a fanny pack and fill it with your phone and your Mophie charger or whatever. Okay? So do yourself a favor. Go to palm.com to learn more and run to your nearest Verizon store to check out Palm for yourself. You got to actually see how small it is. You won't believe how light and small it is until you see it in person. And it's all available at your local Verizon store.
Did you see that movie Strong Island?
No, I haven't, no.
Oof, it is astounding.
Oh, I gotta watch
it. Because
this.
It's just a brilliantly, but like, you know, dark and very stark, real take on like gruesome violence, gruesome racist violence, police brutality in Long Island. Just about one case in particular. And it's so telling of like what Long Island is, because Central Islip is a different world.
Right.
It's a different world.
They kind of do that. Did you listen to the This American Life called like The Wanderers or whatever, or something like that, or The Missing Children? It was about MS-13 like gangs in Suffolk County, like killing kids that were like, you know, or kids disappearing in gang related things, and the cops, like, there's only two Spanish speaking cops in the district, and like, you know, like all this shit where the parents can't even communicate with the cops. The cops don't even want to deal, because in their mind, the cops are saying these kids are hanging out with gang members. That's what happens. But also they have no choice but to be with these gang members because that's the only safety,
of
you
course.
Know? And it's like all this fucked up shit. And it just felt like Long Island, where it was like, that's happening like seven towns away from.
Oh my God. It's crazy.
But now MS-13 is being like harnessed by.
Yeah. By Trump, politics. Trumpers. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
But it is a minor. It's not a minor issue. It's an issue for small, but it's not an issue for fucking Rockville Center. God, no one in Rockville Center is getting MS-13.
It's crazy. I mean, also, like, when you were talking about, when you're just a point that you were making a couple minutes ago, when I think about like Don Draper, you know, I think about like Don Draper from Mad Men, like having his job, like his whole job and his whole life and his affairs and like the women he was fucking on the side and like the bars that he was going to, all of that was in Manhattan, and he would take the train up to Ossining.
Yeah.
And it was this like quiet ride where he would be like, you know, you know, thinking about his life.
He would go
and
like quietly reflecting. Yes.
And it's like, you cannot. That doesn't work if you're taking the train east to Ronkonkoma.
No, when you get to Ronkonkoma is when you unfurl the other side of your personality.
Yes.
Long Island is where you let the freak flag fly.
Yes.
You go to your job in the city, make your money, then come home, and then go to the bawdy bond on fucking Saturday, dude.
The bawdy bond
on Saturday, sloppy tuna on Sunday, God. Bro.
It is crazy. It's crazy. It's a bizarre culture. It's a bizarre place.
Yeah, but I feel like you hear it about it, like, you know, people, the Jersey Shore really exemplified these guys and gals who work normal jobs, do whatever they can to make money, yes. live near their parents, and then when the summer comes, they're like, we live to party every weekend
every
this summer at the shore.
Weekend.
And then hopefully my job lets me get 2 weeks off and I take a 2 week block at the
to Vegas
shore.
Or something.
Yeah.
I've never, you know, that's the other thing too, is just like, just even in like tracing people that I graduated with on Facebook, it's like there is such a distinct, choice, a distinct journey of choices that these people take, where I'm like, how are they all being predictable enough to do the same things, where like the girls would marry older looking Italian men, like significantly older looking
guys you remember from your school. You're like, oh, that guy was 4 years older than us in high school.
It's
and now
so weird,
because
and
it
they
is
do
that
bodybuilding
weird thing.
Or they go to Vegas, or they do like, it's like bodybuilding, construction, and Las Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. And it's weird because this happens in the city a little bit, but it really happens in small towns, because when, or in towns, when you leave them, the age groups like 3 to 4 grades below you and 3 to 4 grades above you get smushed into just
yes.
like, because everyone's like, people who are just in town are like, I'm 20 and you're 18 and
right.
we're both here. I think we start hanging out now.
Yes.
And it's like, all of a sudden you're like, my friend's older brother is now dating my friend's younger sister.
Literally on an episode of House Hunters, like without even missing a beat, as I would have expected. She goes, they say, we met because we went to high school together. We didn't talk to each other. And then after high school, we had a mutual friend introduce each other. And 5 years later, here we are.
We met in high school, but we didn't start dating then because we were disgusting amount of years apart. But then later on in life, we both realized we were both single. He was older, had
anywhere.
A decent job. And I was younger and I was trying to get a decent job. And we both were going to live in this town. So he
crazy.
Said, fuck it.
It is crazy. There was once an Onion article that still makes me laugh that was like, man and woman find miraculously find love in same small town.
right. Artie, knock it off. He's going to just clean your
care.
Whole arm, Elliot. What is that? But why Long Island? I think what got Long Island to just project its culture so far and wide? You know what I mean? Where Long Island is sort of known. Like, I can't explain it, where it's like Long Island has more of an identity than like Brooklyn does. Some,
yes.
Not a better identity, but like it's more people can give you the ins and outs of what Long Island is like than what Brooklyn is like, which
yes.
is weird.
I think it's honestly, I think it's just because it's white people.
Right.
I think it's just white people. And I honestly think that because it's white people, it sounds so silly, but like the privilege allows them to feel like they are in some way victimized,
yeah.
in some way like they're like the the hero, the working class heroes of the Billy Joel songs.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I think that's a very good example of something. That's like the poison of Long Island, is that they're all good people, mostly good people. But when you talk to them, they're like, yeah, well, my family was poor too.
Yes.
And it's like, yes, but you're white and your dad was in a union that got you into a union.
And you weren't poor.
Your parents were, of course, constantly, because this is at least my childhood, your parents were constantly reminding you of how little money they had.
Oh, yes.
But there was a kid two towns over in Roosevelt who had like eight kids living in a group home.
Yes.
And you had a house, your mom having a minivan instead of an SUV.
Yes.
But to you, because it's keeping up with the Joneses, your family seemed poor. But that's because they're not even seeing the next tier.
Well, it is a distinct and clear, you know, reason why it goes so red over there. Why Trump?
I can't see more than 3 feet around from my issue. Oh, look, they can do it. I don't care what's happening out in Ronkonkoma.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Ask me.
Well,
what about me?
Someone threw a rock at the house the other night, and that's how you know this town's falling apart. It's like families are like, kids are getting shot by police in other towns.
It's so crazy. And
you cannot tell. I'm sorry to get wound up about this, because now I'm just picturing specific people in my life. But you cannot tell these people anything about what the real world is like, because they're stuck in their bubble of what's fuck liberal elite bubbles. I feel like liberal elite, and this is me, I'm going to just ask for shit from mouth breathers at this point, but liberal elite bubbles, we're actively, like, at least the liberal people I'm friends with, that we all live in a bubble. Yes, we all drive Priuses and but whatever. But we at the same time have empathy for like our whole thing is empathy. We're trying to learn more about other people, at least in my artist friends. And at home, you're like, my mom or a mom's friend will be like, well, the stock market's doing great. And I'll be like, well, you know how many few people are affected by that? It's only the wealthiest of people. Well, it's been good for us. You know, and it's like, well, then I can't even say anything because you put an extra $1,000 in savings this year. So it doesn't even matter if they're taking your neighbors out and shooting them in the street in front of you. If you have $900,
doesn't affect me.
Yeah, well, Obama never got us the extra $900. It's like, what are you talking about? Well,
you know the actor Lonnie Ross?
Yes.
So he's great. His wife, I was talking to her at a party, and she said the most fascinating thing, which is that she said when she married Lonnie, who I think is from Wantagh, she was like, she didn't realize what Long Island was, because that's where, you know, he's from there. And she said, I can't believe that she said that Long Islanders are the most ethnocentric narcissists without any reason to be ethnocentric narcissists.
Right.
It's not like they're in like paradise, you know?
No.
It's like they're in this like, you know, like some sort of beautiful, you know, coastal.
Wherever Pretty Little Lies is.
They're not in Montecito or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, why do people in like Wantagh act so, you know, high and mighty about their own town and resenting like a metropolis?
Thanks for the plug in there, by the way.
Of course, my pleasure.
Also, it's funny you say ethnocentric, because Long Island is still the place where it's like, you know, Italians were the original black people.
Yes.
You know, like, it's like,
oh my god,
what is your argument?
What?
That's the people who are still like, no, not in 2016. No. Italian Americans have not. We are cartoons. We're actually things are so good for Italian Americans that they're the ethnicity you're allowed to mock.
Exactly. Like, that's where we are.
That's why. That's how
that you're a Halloween costume.
Right.
And it's allowed.
Yeah. You're allowed to be. You're allowed
Italian
to mock
face.
Italian. Everyone's allowed to go, hey, fuck, baffa culo, because things are so good for Italian.
Yes, you're fine. Yeah. You guys are fine.
It's
not if you ask Uncle. You know. It's,
yeah, exactly. Well, that's because that's what they've heard from. They've heard. Yeah.
It's astounding.
It's insane.
It's an astounding place. And I swear to you, like, as a teenager, it was really like a mind fuck for me, because it's not that it was a blessing, it's not that it was a curse, but I was hyper aware of it. And as somebody who was constantly taking the train into the city, that of course people were like, oh yeah, you're a city boy, They call me a city boy, and I'm like,
that is a homophobic slur.
I'm like, just call me a faggot. It's fine. Right, exactly. Like, oh, he's a city guy. Because I would have, I swear to you, it's like, I wasn't.
Because trust me, people were saying fag on Long Island in the 80s.
Of course. Yes. Of course. And I, ultimately, it was like, I was always, even then, as a kid, struggling with the sort of like dissonance, I guess, or the schism of like where I was and who I was surrounded by. And as a kid, you know, that's my world. Like, my world is small.
Yeah.
And the people that I know, it's a small world. You know, there's a way of thinking in, you know, for me, whatever, like 1998, 99, with who I'm surrounded by and like what is right, what is wrong, what's frowned upon, what's. And so doing that, living that life and then taking the train to the city on my own. And like, I wasn't even exploring necessarily like cool stuff, but
you,
just
like the fact that you were there, you like broke the Long Island spell. It was just like,
and it was truly a very strange place for me to be for my headset.
I remember how crazy people thought it was. My junior, in between my junior and senior year of college, I was living with my family. I was lifeguarding at Jones Beach, and then one night a week, taking the train into the city by myself to take Improv 101 at UCB.
That's a mindfuck.
And my family was like, What are you doing? Comedy class? Like, they couldn't even wrap their head around.
Right.
You go into the city for one night? It's a 2-hour train ride. I'm like, well, it's the place where this thing is happening.
Yeah, I'm
well,
not,
there's got to be. You can do comedy.
Go to Governor's.
Go to go to Brokerage. It's right there on Merrick Road. It's so easy.
Oh my God, it's crazy.
Yeah, I can drive you there. What are you doing going into the city?
I honestly, like, my parents are still there, and I'm like, I wonder if there is even a world where it's, I don't know how else to describe this, other than to say, like, you know, you think of something like, you think of like a modern American suburb, and you think about like, oh, there's like a coffee shops, there's like a yoga studio, kids do karate or ballet or dance class or whatever, or, you know, there's restaurants and whatever. And I think about that, and like, I try to map it onto Long Island, and it's just, it's not the same thing. Like, we even had a coffee shop right near where we grew up in St. James. That's like the little hamlet in Smithtown that we grew up in. And it was called, of course, Cool Beans. And of course, the signage was like some ugly, you know, Microsoft Word default, like cookie font, you know? And it would be like, you'd go in and there'd be like somebody playing guitar. And it's like, anywhere else in the country, this would be like a normal thing. But here it's like, covered in like a layer of filth that you just can't get off of you.
There's something about Long Island too, where it's a and you see it now, like played out, because I didn't realize this in the early 2000s, but you see it played out now. It's like this, the conservative sort of, like, I remember it being like, oh, what are you gonna go, when I lived in the city, people from home would be like, yo, you go to your little cafe with Wi-Fi and your latte, and it was like, that was a thing. Now it's like, every mom is driving a fucking giant white Escalade,
giant
drinking
SUV.
A fucking venti.
Yes.
And it's like, now I have my lot, and that's, now that that's reached Long Island, it's complete, yeah. Like,
yes.
I got a lot of my family Thai food for the first time this past Christmas.
Oh boy.
Christmas 2017, I got my family to try Thai food.
That's insane.
What's in it, Jonathan? Is it like noodles, like Chinese? Yeah, well, it's like noodles, but it's like pad Thai. You never had pad Thai anywhere.
Had pad Thai?
And they were like, ew, Thai food, what is that? And five relatives. And it's like, There are Thai restaurants on Long Island.
I'm telling you, they are there, but they don't factor into the wallpaper. They don't factor into, they wouldn't be on a map, you know?
It's weird. And you say that about the coffee shop. It's like, Long Island also, at least in Nassau and like around where I'm from, and is like Italian ice places, Duane Reade's, delis.
Yes.
More so than coffee shops, yoga studios.
Oh my God. Yeah, no. I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's like the American suburb, quote unquote. But then in actuality on Long Island, yes, there might be a yoga studio somewhere, but for every one yoga studio, there's 7 Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. It's weirdly like Long Island is upper middle class, like a thrust of Long Island. I know it's economically diverse, actually a little more socioeconomically diverse than I'm saying, but it's almost like it's upper middle class people who think they're lower middle class.
Yes.
Who think they're blue collar.
Oh, look at me. Yeah, it's very
it's like
poor
there's a
me.
Pride, there's a pride in being blue collar on Long Island to the point where if you are a accountant, you actually still carry yourself like a blue collar, like you still play softball or
whatever. It's the, I mean, to me, like, nobody embodies that that or embodied that more than Bill O'Reilly.
Yes.
This very rich guy from Long Island who was imposing, who was an alpha male.
Went to private school.
Private school, angry for no reason, you know, angry at the... at people of color, angry at gay people, angry at women.
And he's like the voice of the proletariat somehow, despite being like, you just watched him rise as like upper, like wealthy from
wealthy
soup to nuts.
Fuck. You know, and abusive, you know, like a disgusting man, And that video of him too, obviously the hugely viral video of him saying, fuck it, we're doing it live. It's incredible. But that to me reeks of, that is where, that is what we grew up around. This, this toxically... privileged masculinity where they, like a Bill O'Reilly, thinks, how dare everyone else not appease me, women included, but how dare they expect me to read the teleprompter, to read the teleprompter where I'm just saying, and let's go out, you know, and we'll go out to this new track by Sting. He couldn't handle it. Like, he literally couldn't handle it. Right. So he screams, he goes fucking insane. And it's like, why are you going insane? This is all built around you. You're making the most money of anybody in this room.
The same reason anyone who's stuck in their BMW goes insane on the LIE when it's their commute is 4 minutes longer than it was yesterday.
It's astounding.
Because it affects Long Island is a suburb, you know, it's not, there are elements that are more like city like or whatever, but it's, you're not living on top of each other. So like you can lose a little bit of empathy.
Whereas
like, I think New York City teaches you to like, you can live in fucking, you can live on Christopher Street in a penthouse apartment.
Yep.
But if you want to go uptown, you got to get on the D train.
Yep.
Right. And it's like, there's going to be a guy wiping his ass. There's going to be a woman who is breastfeeding. There's going to be five Muslim people.
It's
there's
the great equalizer.
Yeah.
The city in and of itself, no matter how wealthy you are, there is a level of a great equalizer in who you're surrounded by, in the weather, you know, in even if Howard Stern doesn't set foot on a subway train or a sidewalk, you can't escape where you are.
Someone still pisses on the outside of SiriusXM.
That's it.
Matter what, Howard, no matter what, you know, you get airlifted from Long Island directly into your office, someone took a dump near your building on the floor.
And it's the truth. And to me, that is an astounding difference. I was going to say, too, that my sister and I, when we worked at this golf club for a summer, it was such an unfettered look at the way that class, quote unquote class, defined where we were. Because this golf club was maybe 15 minutes from our house. It was like deep into Head of the Harbor, which is like a beautiful sort of expensive woods. It's a more like woodsy.
We're talking North Shore towns at this.
Yeah,
point,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
North Shore is like, for those who don't know, it's like, it's a little. That's where you get bigger pieces of property. Yeah. You get some woodsy, curvy
streets.
It's
like woodsy and beachy at the same time.
Yeah, because you have the sound up there.
Yes,
too,
and it's pretty.
It's oddly New England like.
It's oddly New England like, but the people are nowhere near oddly New England
like
whatsoever.
If Southie people moved.
That's right. Exactly.
And
so it was so fascinating because we were surrounded. We were waiting on people who belonged to this country club. So they were rich, but they were also local. And so we were just, my sister and I still are talking about how fascinating it was to have to like wait on, you know, a handful of people who were WASPy, classically WASPy, and upper, you know, and rich and privileged and entitled. But then the rest of them were like absolute trash, and yet they were trash with money.
Yeah,
and what that looks like.
Long Island is a lot of new money, it feels like, or at least attitude wise a lot of new money. Like any house that's getting redone in most of these like my mom's neighbor's house is just like the gaudiest
like, shit.
Yeah, like hot tub that rains into
well,
the regular
even in high school, like I feel like in the rest of America, in a classic American suburb, you know, the most popular kids are the jock and the homecoming queen, whatever. That's like American, that's like Americana tried and true. Where I grew up, the most quote unquote popular kids were both the most connected to the mob, the most gaudy Italian and connected kids. And the girl who was like the one that everybody was like, she's the hottest, you know, like she's the hottest, she's the most popular, she's the girl everyone wants to bang. She was the daughter of a a waste management, quote unquote, waste management.
Say no more.
Aficionado or whatever. I don't know, whatever his title was. And he was, of course, in jail for racketeering and money laundering. When he got out.
A lot of waste management people end up in jail in New York.
They sure do. Something about garbage. But when he got out, apparently he built, you know, a disgusting like McMansion somewhere, and his neighbors would complain because he had giant gold garbage cans made for his house, and they were oversized and humongous and gaudy and gross, and the neighbors would complain, but he would refuse to get rid of them because he was the trash king.
Oh my god, trash king! That's a fucking parable about Long Island. Yes, to be like proud of being the trash king.
To taunt your neighbors with not only the fact that you're the trash king, but you are a criminal.
Yeah, right. You're out of jail. Yeah.
You're out of jail.
That's so. Yeah, it's funny you say that about, because the popular kids in my school, the most popular kids were the jocks, the like sort of like the football players, the athletes, the you know, those kind of kids, like the Dave Matthews Band, ska music kids,
right?
But then the other wave of popular kids were the bad dudes, like the dirt. Literally, they called themselves the jocks and the dirtbags.
Oh my
god! Like the dirtbags called themselves the dirtbags. They all smoked cigarettes at the same place right after school, and the jocks were all like, smoking cigarettes is gross, you know?
Oh my
god. But they were both like weirdly equally popular.
Yeah.
And then senior year, it became a thing where we would like, the jocks and the dirtbags would like rumble at the senior functions, like senior cut day, senior blank day.
Oh my god.
And it was just like, we ended up having like a schism in our high school.
I posted this video story on Instagram recently because I had this footage from
Rent.
Yeah, Rent.
I am a fan of your Instagram stories. You. So yeah, I watched this. This was my exciting god. For me to
thank
watch.
You. Yeah, it was
please tell
we put
us
on
more.
No, we put on scenes from Rent because one of the guys who graduated from our school was in Rent on Broadway.
Oh, wonderful.
And so he would take the train for like a couple of weeks. He was taking the train out every day to quote unquote direct scenes from Rent with our high school. Like high school, and that was illegal first and foremost. But
because you're not allowed to do a production within
on
like
Broadway.
X amount of drive away from Broadway, right?
Right. Yeah. Or if a show's on Broadway in general, I think that's the rule.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I always thought it was like you can't do that shit on Long Island because then I'm gonna go see St. Anthony's High School production of Rent. Fuck
Hello,
the
Dolly. I'm gonna save Bette Midler. I'm going to the one in Syosset.
That Syosset Youth Drama Club does a great Hello Dolly. Follow me, sweetheart. Save you fucking $40, that's for sure.
They did, we did that. But anyway, so I posted the video from it because it was a bizarre, insane, strangely Long Island thing that I can't believe happened. And, I had the video of it, so I cut it up and posted it on Instagram. And at the end of the VHS tape that Rent footage was on was just happened to be like, but I don't, not by mistake per se, but maybe somebody taped over it, or it was two of the guys from our junior class announcing that there was after all going to be a junior prom. But the video is so funny because it's like these two guys and the guy and literally with the heaviest accent, the dude is like, so it turns out after all, we are going to have a junior prom, and everyone screams, and he's like, but listen, what we have to do is we have to be classy, and we have been instructed not to overshadow the senior prom. So this year we can't. I know guys like to wear tuxes and girls like to wear big gowns, and everybody loves a limo, but we gotta tone it down. Like literally just a kid telling everyone else to tone down.
A 16-year-old kid. Look, no limos this
year.
No limos.
Because
that's what everyone is thinking. Junior
limos.
Prom is Hummer limos.
Limos. Yeah, yeah. He's like, we can't have limos. He's like, I know the guys want to wear tuxes and the girls want to wear gowns, but we gotta tone it down.
Year.
Save it for senior year.
Yeah,
and
so
it's like, where are we? What? Who deals with this?
That's really fun. That just reminded me the other day. My brother has two kids and. It was FaceTiming. It was brought Arthur in, and I was like, "Look, it's a Bow Wow," and they were like, "Oh, he doesn't say Wow Wow anymore. He says Doggy now." And we're like, "Oh, okay." And they're like, "Look, see, it's a doggy. And it's my, my brother and my sister-in-law, both with their New York accent, Long Island accents, going, look, say doggy. Say, look, it's a doggy. Say hi to the doggy. And I'm like, oh, that's how it happens, because that kid is now going to say doggy.
Of course. Doggy.
He's going to need to do 10 years of improv starting in the year, starting at his 20th year, to eventually learn how to not
so
do it all
strange.
The time. And I still have it.
I'm telling you, I still see these videos, these, like, home videos of ours where, as a little kid, I'm talking with the heaviest accent.
Oh, there's a video of me and my brother reviewing these Yankees nightlights my dad bought us. And we're like, here's the thing about the Yankees nightlights. And we're like 8 and 6. And it's like, they suck. And my dad's like, you hear him off mic, like, hey, you can't say sucks. We're like, well, the lights suck, dad. It's like, we're two fucking longshoremen and we're like 8 years old.
It's so weird. It is so weird. Because then I try to think, I'm like, do little kids have, like, country accents in the South?
I think they do.
They must.
I think because you learn to speak from your parents or from your family, so it has to happen. Yeah,
I don't know. It is a strange
fucking
place.
Well, because it also doesn't ring untrue for your parents when they hear it.
It doesn't at all.
If you're like, I'm going to go in the yard. Do you want coffee? You know, they're like, no coffee for me. Enjoy the yard.
But Alana and I don't have accents now. I mean, not really. They come out here and there, but like.
Do you find them? They come out more when you've been drinking or you're around other people who have them too?
Oh, no. Always when we're around people who have them. Yeah. Always, without a doubt.
I'll be home for 5 minutes, like, on Long Island this Christmas, and I'll be like, Jesus fucking Christ, who put the beers in the freezer? They're fucking foaming all over the place.
Right. Or my sister always says, like, when we're on Long Island, she'll end up always saying, awesome. That is awesome.
I still say awesome. I'm a fucking podcast host who will have a guest explain something really awesome to me, and then I go, that's awesome. It's like, I'm like the Chris Farley show over here.
That's awesome.
But I would be remiss not to talk about this with you, because besides Matt Rogers, I didn't know any people, and I guess who grew up gay on Long Island, because there is, like, it's sort of like a thin veneer of homophobia, thicker in way places, but it's like, at least, was the 90s like that everywhere? Am I being a little...
Oh, I don't know. I mean, for me, I felt it, like, for sure. Like, I think I wonder...
It's still weirdly there. Like, no one seems to have issues with gay people, but
no.
It's still the, like, you know, you'll hear someone go, I love that. I love my doctor. He's a fagula. And I'll be like, I don't think... You're not supposed to say that. They're like, it's fine. I love him.
It's insane.
And I'm like, I can't even get into why this is wrong.
Oh, my God.
And I get it in a way, too, where it's like, oh, yeah, talk however you want. But that is, like, we're learning that's not good anymore.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, for me, it was like... I don't know if it was different. I would imagine it's different now than it was for me. But, like, I was just absolutely petrified of being found out.
You were not out.
No, I was not.
Yeah.
And I was petrified because I passed as straight, you know?
Right.
And people liked me, but you will love this. This is, it perfectly encapsulates what we're talking about. On Instagram, when the first trans ban happened, or something that Trump did that was, like, anti-trans and fucking awful, I posted one of those, you know, pictures that, like, I posted about, like, trans kids, because there was a whole thing happening with trans kids in the bathroom bill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I posted something, and then one of the guys that I grew up with was like, his comment was, if you got to stand to pee, you stand. If you got to sit to pee, you sit. It's that simple. I was like, well, and like, I got into it with him, being fully respectful, not at all patronizing, not at all. I didn't want to come off at all like I didn't want to give him any ammunition to be like
liberal,
exactly,
or whatever. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I was like, but it's not, because, like, imagine feeling like you have to sit to pee, to urinate or whatever, to pee, and, like, you can't. Imagine, and I said, like, imagine feeling like, for some reason or another, you are terrified to go to the bathroom, which is why kids, I think I was posting about how kids were, at that point, not eating or drinking during the day so they could avoid going to the bathroom.
Because they didn't feel comfortable going
exactly
to the bathroom that they were had to go to.
Exactly.
To go to, yeah.
And so his response was, you know, he responded, we had like a comment thread that started, and he tried to compare being a trans kid to saying, he was like, listen, when I grew up, he was like this very, like, pasty blonde kid when he was a kid. I'm sure he is now. He was like, When I grow up my beard, it comes out red. But you know what? Everybody makes fun of me. But you know what? I keep it. Because like Kelly Clarkson once said, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I was like, you're out of your fucking mind. And so my point being that I got to a point where he goes, well, you didn't have to. He's like, you didn't have to worry about going to the bathroom. You weren't out. Or he said something like, you didn't have to worry about going to the bathroom. Everybody loved you. And I was like, well, A, I don't remember it that way. Not that I remember it another way, but right. The way he saw it was, I guess now, well, he's out and he's gay, but like we all liked him. Right. Everybody liked him. So what would he have been worried about?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's not how it works for me, but he can't get outside of his own head. And so for me as a kid, I was surrounded by people like that who were at that point actually... It felt vicious to hear people say fag all the time. Right, it felt vicious for people to be like hell bent on guys being the most quote unquote masculine as possible.
Yeah.
And that to me stems directly from that like weird macho Italian culture that was so insidious. It was just everywhere.
Right. And it crosses, it, you know, it's like comes from that, but everyone wants, at least the young men I grew up around wanted that macho-ness attitude. It was like, that's where lifting weights comes into play. I feel like going to the gym because it's like, got to be stronger than the other people. You got to look
tougher.
You got to be more masculine. You know?
For me, it was like, I would think I was less scared of being, I was honestly less scared of being seen as gay and more scared of being seen as like a sissy or a girl or faggy or whatever.
It was a death knell for straight guys to be like that.
Exactly.
At all too.
So to let my secret out that I was gay would have been, put a target on my back to the point that this is so fucking nuts, but like, and I've tried to like block it out, but like at our senior prom, I think it was, you know, a bunch of us who went together in the same limo, you know, whatever, the same limo, whatever.
We're seniors now. We can use a limo, guys. Enjoy.
We had to be.
My Uncle Tony owns a limo place. You get like the tints are bubbling when they show up. That's like the tints. The limo I was in senior year had like bubbly tints. So I was like, gnarly. Oh my God, this is so gross.
Gnarly.
Tinted windows were so huge in my high school.
Tinted windows.
Bro. If my mom lets me tint, I'm going to go two shades.
You can't see inside my car.
Yeah. And it was people who were like, these aren't even street legal. That's how awesome these tints are. I'm like, well, why do you need dark
tints?
Systems, tints, weird, like, you know.
What?
Yeah.
I think the tinting is like, it gives them such a feeling of badassness.
Right. And it's like wearing, who are you, fucking a superhero? Sunglasses. It's like, right. It's your car wearing sunglasses inside.
Inside.
Yeah. You think you look cool, but you look like an asshole.
Oh my God. But at the senior prom, two of the people in our group it was a gay couple. And we had to, I've honestly like blocked this out because it was so silly. But we had to be escorted out of the prom because they were like threatening the couple. Threatening. They were getting threats on the dance floor at the fucking Hilton Wyndham in fucking Hicksville or something.
Prom is already the gayest thing you can do.
The gayest.
It's like you rent outfits, you like dress up, you get your photos taken. It's like, to me, like for a young straight boy, I was like, this is gay. Yeah. Like doing this.
This is
gay.
Very gay and silly. And who? Why do we need this?
A dance.
We had to get escorted out because they were threatening a couple.
And you're
two guys.
And you're closeted at
yes
this time.
Very much so.
Oh, so that's even like, that's a fucking whole nother layer. Horrifying. Too, where you're like, well, now I'm not gonna say shit to
can you imagine
people.
Like, can you imagine that just high school, like high school boys on Long Island having enough hatred in their bodies, in their souls, in their minds, enough hatred for gay people that they threaten them on the dance floor, and they go out of their way to make their senior prom, or any day, forget a senior prom, they go out of their way to make them feel not just bad about themselves, but unsafe.
Yeah.
On a fucking dance floor in Hicksville.
It's so upsetting for so many reasons, because it's like, you don't even know why you don't like.
You don't even know why you're picking on them.
Long Island has, and I'm sure a lot of towns, the conservative-based towns and people, like not super liberal city centers, but it's that otherism. It like
It's astounding. To me, it's no different than
it could have been two Palestinian people.
Exactly.
And they would have been like, and I'm not trying to take away from anyone's experience there, but it's just that Long Island attitude of like, we chose to hate you and now you have a fuck.
You could have replaced those two guys with any people of color.
Yeah.
Two women. You could have replaced them with anything outside of a white guy and a white girl. And it would have been similar, if not worse.
Yes, and would have been believable. Like you would be like, of course, kids.
We grew up, you know, in a town where a biracial couple in Smithtown, when we were there, were so assaulted for being biracial with kids, interracial, excuse me. They literally had to pick up and move. They picked up and moved from Smithtown to North Carolina.
Ugh.
Because they were bullied.
They need
for being an interracial couple.
They need to go place. Listen to yourselves, Long Island. They need to go a place where they felt safe. They went to the
North
South
Carolina.
They went to the South to feel less racist.
Fucking? It's all just fucking crazy. And I,
because Long Island has hicks, it has trash, it has racist people, but it also has that like outside of the city where it has gay couples, it has immigrants, and it has, and the fact that people still haven't. To me, that bullshit of like, oh yeah, well, my grandfather was Italian. He came here. He pulled himself up. To me, that attitude ends up, rather than me going, they need to do that, that attitude makes me more empathetic.
Yep.
Where I'm like, oh, it sucked for my distant ancestor. How about I make sure it doesn't suck for this person? Will eventually have a great grandson.
Isn't that the way that things should be? That empathy or that like abuse or whatever breeds empathy for others.
Yeah, there's this weird element where, and I think, and this is like hip firing political theories. So this is where I always get things wrong. But there's this thing of like, shouldn't college be free? And everyone who's against it is like, I fucking paid for college.
Right.
I'm getting ripped off if someone else goes for free.
Right.
Even though their money is
gone.
It's pot committed.
It's
that
over.
Money's gone. And so to me, I say, I paid for college. I paid it off. Student loans took me 15 years. It fucking pinned me down, forced me to. I still don't own a home. I'm almost 40.
Right.
I've been making good money for a decade, and I still don't own a home because of college loans, because of my wife's college loans, because I choose to live in expensive cities. But to me, if someone was like, we're going to not charge other kids for college, I'd be like, that's wonderful because it sucked for me.
Amazing.
And I think there's like this weird, and I hate to do political lines, but like the left feels like, look, things are slightly better for gay people now. I see that it's hard for trans, hard for trans people currently. Let's get behind
help.
Them. But I feel like the other attitude is, I went through that shit. You can go through that shit. Yeah,
too.
Like I grew a red beard, and I dealt with that. You know, and it's like, and you don't
my
see
my beard came out red, so trans kids should have to deal with.
You see it a little bit in older gay dudes, at least in my opinion, like some who are like, ugh, we did Stonewall. You do it now, trans people. Like, you know, like we had our, and which is very true. Shit was bad for a long, and still is. But fucking anyone else, I see that. I'm like, no, don't you want to turn around and be like, everyone's like, my family came here 100 years ago legally. And it's like, yeah, but luckily, like, can't you admit that like your life, the reason you're living in Long Island and you can't see that you're the great grandson of an immigrant and that potentially there'll be a new John Gabris being born here on Long Island.
It's called the United States of America. The point of it is that it's a unification of different states, of different people, of different backgrounds. I just don't understand how. To me, it's like I think of like the Long Islander, but I also think of Trump. You know, the idea of being like, well, fuck you if you're an immigrant now,
right?
Even though you came from immigrants.
If you're not an indigenous person standing anywhere in Congress or whatever, then you came here somehow.
But like, but how do you have? Forget about empathy. How do you have disdain for somebody who's going through the same thing that your relatives? Asylum. It's all about asylum. If somebody is seeking asylum, how do you not have the empathy to take what your family's experience was and help the next person rather than persecute them?
Right.
I don't get it. And even
they're literally, this whole country was founded on like leaving religious persecution or leaving government persecution. Now people are doing that in other, and we can't even see that it's this is the shit that bothers me the most is that when it's like, let's argue about how much healthcare for everyone costs. Let's argue about how stupid it is to pay for everyone for college. Those arguments, I could see two sides.
Sure.
But like people staying alive, like that's like, how do you argue against that in any capacity?
I don't
how
know.
Do you take the side of like, fuck this person?
I don't know.
No matter what their issue is, like if, I don't even know. I can't even try to do like a thought experiment where you flip it completely. Where I guess like if you wanted, like I don't want people to have guns. I don't want people to be hunting, over hunting animals. But if that's like what you do in your town that I don't understand in the South, I'm not trying to stop you from right. doing that. Don't try to stop other people from. I don't know. Way out of my bounds here, knowledge wise. But
I don't know. I mean, to me, it translates as like as a gay guy. I see it so much in gay digital culture, especially where it's like gay guys will happily tear down the next gay guy on Grindr or Scruff or something because for whatever reason, or they'll lead with a profile tagline or something that is really nasty or that's really abrasive or arrogant or antagonistic, and I cannot wrap my head around why they, who have clearly also at some point or another felt like the other,
some shit.
Bullied not bullied, even just felt like the other, felt like they were alone in the world in some capacity. How are they then able to
other
wake
people.
Up, put their feet on the ground, and then treat other gay guys with meanness, from the perspective of a bully, from the perspective of somebody who's a dick? Why would you be a dick to other people who went through the same thing as you? Why would you right. lead with that?
Yeah, it's
I
always
don't get
like,
it.
For the white straight male in me, it's always interesting to hear where I will lump an entire, I mean, and you'll hear, I'll lump an entire subculture together
right.
in my head. I'll be like, oh, and like then you hear about, oh, well, inside of this subculture, like it was like the thing you learn when you're young where it's like, oh, you know, the Mexicans don't like the Puerto Ricans. Puerto right. Ricans don't like whatever that the lineage is, and the same amongst Asian people. Whereas as a white person, you're like, ah, yes, Asian people, they right. seem great. And yep. then it's like, well, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Southeast Asian, all that Thai, all that's all completely different.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh, right. But then you find out that there's hatred amongst them, and you're like, no.
How could there be that?
Yeah, fighting to not hate. We're fighting white people to not hate you. Yes. Let's get everyone to not
everyone
hate
everyone should
each.
Be together. Yeah. But it's just not the way it is.
No.
You know, I mean,
it's that like get in the door and close it behind you, right. or get in the door and hold it open for other people.
That's it. That's all it is.
And I think like, I get it, like not wanting to hold the door open because it's going to be only more crowded if people get in there. But like it's inevitable. I feel like I always say this on this podcast too. Like we naturally chart towards progression,
yeah.
like progressive values. Like we chart towards human rights getting better and better no matter what, like
right.
overall. So like we're on, that's the inevitability. Like just see that like, I'm
progress
sorry.
Progress is
yes.
progress. It's that there's a reason that time moves forward.
Yeah. It's hard. Okay. It's hard to hash out pronouns. Fine. I'll let you have this bullshit argument. But meanwhile, you're the same person who's like, it's not an AR-15.
Right.
It doesn't stand for assault rifle or whatever. But it's like, well, hash out. Pronouns are hard. Fine. That's the only difficulty you're allowed to have.
Yep.
Like you're only allowed
That's
to be
it.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time. Remember. And also in my experience, no trans person has ever been mad at me for me asking or misunderstanding or like, I'm sorry, can you just confirm to me like
right.
what pronoun? No one has ever been upset.
No one's threw a punch at you because you
we're
didn't know the right pronoun.
We're all afraid to come across as wrong. Even the people who scream incorrect things all the time.
Yes.
They're like, they still don't want to be considered wrong. So
right.
when it's like, this thing I don't fully understand is there, I'd rather just say it's overall incorrect.
Yes.
Rather than dive in and be like, wait, explain to me how things I believed previously were
yep.
incorrect. It's like,
to me it sucks because I feel like politically, since Trump was elected, people are now, they feel emboldened to have that attitude of closing the door behind them.
Yeah.
They feel emboldened to not have empathy. They feel emboldened to be really selfish in their thinking and self-serving in a way that is now scary to someone like me, because you could call me a snowflake if you want, but I'm just horrified to see that people are now feel like they have the permission to be bad people,
yeah,
to have the values of
a bad
person. There
used to be some shame
person.
In being that I used to say on the podcast, and I used to say this as like a joke or as like an idea, but I refuse to like even think about it anymore. It's like, I used to be like, fine, you hate black people. You never have to say that to anyone,
yep,
or even, you know, like, you never have to, just, you can have that opinion. You, gay people scare you. You don't understand it. Fine. You don't ever have, you shouldn't share that. You should, when you have that thought, you should go, fuck, that's fucked up. I shouldn't say that. Let me think about what, and then live with that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because where it's like, I don't know about, you know, this fucking weird thing. Whatever. But the fact that people feel comfortable sharing it is like a whole nother level.
Well, because Trump has emancipated them from feeling like political correctness defines the things that they can or can't say. And it's like,
it's weird.
Yeah, it should define you, and or should confine you to saying or expressing certain feelings if they're fucking shitty.
I know. Well, political correctness is such bullshit, because it's just the adding that word political. The word is correctness. Yeah. It's like, are you being a correct person?
Are you
like,
being a
you're
correct-
being incorrect if you speak. And look, there's the political correctness. They've created a spectrum where in which you, if you say gay instead of LGBTQ, they make you think that's the bad. Like, yep, you're like, oh, now I can't even say gay. So, and that's like, no one's
that's
saying
not
that's
thing.
Not the argument.
Yeah.
But if the argument is more like, treat us all like people and you're fine. It's
just
like,
be a person. Just be a human person.
And it fucking drives me such up a wall where it's like, no one's saying you can't even have, and like all the shit where it's like, can you even do edgy humor anymore? It's like, you can. It just can't be garbage.
Yeah, just don't be a shithead.
It's fucking insane.
And by the way, that argument also, on from that perspective, is somebody who's saying, but what about me? Me.
Think about how me not being able to hash out pronouns makes me feel. And it's like, we're talking about people who identify as a different gender. Like,
they don't want, honestly, like, those people don't want to hear, they don't want to hear the term privilege, because they don't want to accept that that is what the world is.
Yeah.
That, or that's what this country is. That's what it's been predicated upon. And now it is we now are in a time where people, especially women, are able to sort of prick that balloon and actually tell them that first and foremost, they are the ones who have gotten away with whatever they wanted to because of what they look like.
Right.
Because of their anatomy. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Kavanaugh.
No one wants.
He doesn't
want to
hear it. He sat there. He does not want to hear that he is a brat because of what he looks like, because of what he looks like, and the money that he comes from because of that, the education that he got because of that. You know, it's all interconnected, and he is literally sniffling and crying as they're breaking that wall down for him, mentally speaking.
Who is this?
Kavanaugh.
Oh, Kavanaugh. Yeah, right. Because he's hearing for the first time. He's run into resistance.
Yep.
His life of no resistance, of like doing whatever he wanted, wherever he wanted, until he saw, like, and never being around, even around someone who needed.
If you just go
through Georgetown Prep, you never even meet someone who's having a hard time.
You look at him, you're looking at a man watching that, those hearings, you're watching a white American man be, some would say, raked over the coals, right? It's like, you know, they put him through hell, which is already a joke in comparison to Dr. Ford. But, they're putting him through hell. And it's like,
they're shining lights is all they're doing.
And also, they're doing the due diligence of vetting a Supreme Court justice. So for anybody, including him, to act abrasive and to act resistant and to fire back over the actual diligent process, the due process of being vetted, is the epitome of privilege, and the epitome of being so blind to the fact that you have ascended higher than everybody else because of the color of your skin and the thing between your legs.
It's like being in a job interview and them going, what's your greatest weakness? And you screaming, weaknesses? I don't have any weaknesses.
Exactly.
How dare you dig deep on my weaknesses?
Right. It's like, and thinking that person is still supposed to hire you.
Right.
And then they did.
But that's the thing. And this is what drives me crazy. And no lesson learned.
Nothing.
No lesson learned. No lesson to pass on to anyone else where it's like, honestly, just stick to your fucking gun. And jumping back to Long Island before we get out of here, I just want to come. Trump is such a, like, being from Long Island helps you understand Trump so much. Because it's like that level of rich where all you want is for other people to think you're rich.
Yep.
It doesn't matter, like, about deep family ties or philanthropy. You just
tinted cars.
Yes, exactly. Big gaudy houses.
Garbage cans.
Getting enough money to buy a new house, but instead just putting a second floor on top of your house that makes it look insane.
Right.
Like, that's like the most Long Island
It being gaudy, it being ugly.
Yeah. Casual racism, but also, like, I love the blacks. The Jews are good with money. You know, like that kind of stuff where it's like, that's like Long Island non-racism, you know, where people are like, I'm not racist.
Yeah.
I love black dudes. There's this one hot black chick that works at the gym. And you're like, whoa, that's not how it goes. That's not how it works. But Trump is sort of like that. He's like the dumpy white guy who thinks he's macho and handsome, white collar, but believes himself to be like, talks about like he's ready for a bar fight. Like he's been in a bar that wasn't like,
you're not
hand selected the other people in it.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not a warrior. You're a joke.
Right.
But if somebody tries to even challenge you, you only puff up your chest more because you have nothing to back. You have nothing to fall back on.
Right. And it's oddly Long Island. It's oddly
very that much
that, I mean, he is from Queens, right?
He's from Queens. It's like, it's the same.
It's a stone's throw.
It's crazy. I mean, my parents, you know, my dad's from Brooklyn. My mom is from Queens and they live in Smithtown. They had in college, they went to UMass Amherst. That's where they met. And they, I know they would have stayed there in the Berkshires or in New England. But my dad was sort of guilted into returning home and working for the family business.
Oh, okay. That'll do it.
Yeah. And that'll get you. And so now,
the power of in Italian families and in Jewish families the to guilt. Just be like, wait, is there a gravity pulling me to my mom's house?
Well, right, it's
now?
Crazy. Even when they like chose to live in Smithtown, my dad's parents were like, what? You're going to live so far away?
Oh,
and they would, and it was literally 20 minutes and they would guilt him. And, but anyway, the point being that, you know, these are two people who are very smart, very well-read. They're liberal. But they are also of the like Long Island, Queens, Brooklyn ilk. So they like have the accents, but they're not tacky, but you know, they live where they live.
They show signs.
Yeah, whatever. They live where they live. They show signs, but they're also like, they both have, it's just, it is so bizarre for them to live in a liberal, for them to have their liberal values while also needing to blend into the scenery of where they live.
Yeah.
You know, they don't live in some sort of artist hippie commune. They don't even live in like a WASPy area. They just live among Trumpers, even though they have, they're disgusted by him.
Right.
And so that to me is just such a strange.
Politics was never really a thing on Long Island. It felt like, at least for me, I never was even alerted to it until like in the last 5 years.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like until living in hipster Brooklyn when fucking Obama gets elected and being like, wow, this actually is really nice.
Yeah.
This is cool. I never thought about politics previously. And now it's like bubbling up a little bit more.
God.
Where people who I never spoke about politics have just started Facebooking about it. You know, all of a sudden you start to see, oh, my mom's friends aren't just wealthy, nice ladies. They have these weird conservative fucking bones.
And they're just lemmings, and they're just following. They're just following Fox News or whatever they're following. It's like, it's become so, it's basically like politics have become BuzzFeed fodder. The listicles, the memes, the silly and like haphazard way that people use and digest politics and just use Benghazi emails, you know, like Dr.
Right,
Ford.
Buzzwords. Like,
buzzwords.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they've made it dumb. Politics is now dumb.
It's now digestible.
It's digestible for dummies.
Yeah, and you know what? Because it is that thing where I always talk about on Long Island, your mom's friend is like, a mom's friend is a weird sort of back alley secret service that Long Island has where you're like,
oh my God,
Elliot, how'd you get that job? My mom's friend got it for me.
Right.
My mom's friend actually had a lead on a Jeep Cherokee. My mom's friend got me this apartment in Rockville Center. It's like a mom's friend is like a weird unity in Long Island where every mom's friend.
It's like Bitcoin.
Yeah, yeah. They're all sort of like, oh, you might want to hit the mom's friend network to see what it's like Craigslist sort of where they can like get it on the fucking Bluetooth calls while they drive their SUVs around.
Oh, my God.
You know, Elliot's looking for an apartment. Okay, let me tell my friend
Lorraine.
Jan
and Gina.
Exactly. I'll ask Aunt Chi Chi. Everyone's just going around. But I think Mom's Friend Network has become the Mom's Friend Political Network,
yes.
where the one friend who knows the most, or whether it's correct or incorrect, the one
she
friend
who
reads the most memes or watches the most Fox News, disseminates that information amongst
yes.
the book club, the birthday club, the Pilates club, the Elizabeth Arden Red Door Spa club,
yep.
whatever people you go hang out
yeah.
with. They're just going, well, you know, the
you know,
Benghazi is this,
right.
And then someone's mom hears that, my mom hears that, and it's just like in her head, and she's like, well, what about the Benghazi bombs?
Right.
You know? And you're like, I don't know what the fuck you're
it's
talking
so
about.
It's so crazy. I mean, it really is so insane. It's such an insane way to see that permeate, but it does.
And it's just out now. Now it's like, people who I've never heard speak about politics my entire life.
Meanwhile, I think in 8 years of Obama, I still would have been terrified in 2008 as I would have in 2015 of bringing that up to somebody on Long Island.
Yes, exactly.
We have a cousin. I mean, my dad has a cousin, from Brooklyn, like Jewish guy. Like they have a hardware business in Brooklyn, and that was the way it was for a long time. Moved to Florida. Of course, like that's where you go.
Yeah.
And so he was down there and we went to go visit him, and like he had a really nice house, you know, and like lived in a really nice community. So we're just hanging out with him, and he is talking about, I guess we started getting into politics, and he starts talking about Trump, and he's into Trump. And then at some point he casually dropped the N-word, and I got up and left because I was like, this is insane. But it was so disgusting to hear this Jewish guy from Long Island be so brainwashed, and
right.
he said I heard him talk about how he was liberal in college, but how stupid he was for that to happen. And then at some point something happened in his personal life where he then became basically racist,
yes,
and was emboldened to be racist and to have that mentality. And so sitting there talking, and I was like, I'm getting up and leaving. And I told, and my parents, you know, stayed, and then said, you know, later were like, I was like, why would you even entertain? Why would you let those words exit his mouth? And they subsequently have like stopped talking to him. But it's like, yeah, that's a perfect example. It's like, who emboldened you to be such a fucking idiot?
Yeah. Also, I don't want you to think you could say that around me.
Sorry.
Yeah. Like, no.
You fucking idiot.
You need to hear from other white people that you're not supposed to say that.
Exactly.
You're not supposed to just be like, what? There's no black people around.
Disgusting. I mean, really, truly disgusting.
Hey, I stop saying it even when I'm singing along to rap music. Okay.
Exactly.
That's a huge step for me.
Right. And that's what's called like being moderately aware of what's right and what's wrong. It's not a challenge.
Right.
It's not a challenge. It's not a challenge to your ego. It should be like, oh yeah, that's ugly coming out of my mouth.
That's
all it is.
It should be like,
oof, I shouldn't say that. That's a shitty word.
Oh, you're right. And you know why I have to take your word for it? Because you are a black person
yeah.
telling me this is wrong.
Maybe.
You are a gay person telling me that this is wrong. Maybe I should just take your word for it.
Yeah, but you have to like spoon feed that to people. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah. You got to get like, there should be like some weird sort of charity that just gets
yes.
weird, like those
yes.
cuspy conservative people. It's like, let's have them meet one cool black lesbian, one gay dude who's into football.
That's
like,
it.
Just be like, look here. Look,
that's it. Make them watch a Shonda Rhimes show or something.
Right, yeah.
Something very colorblind.
You have to give them the Clockwork Orange
yes.
to watch 10 episodes of Queer Eye.
Yes. And they're by the end, they're like, I love it.
We are, I do my part whenever like my relatives who are not, I have cuspy relatives, but not like no monster relatives. Those have just been left out of our family.
Right.
But I have some cuspy relatives, and when they come out to visit, I'm like, oh, you got to meet my friends.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Those are two boys' names that are having
dinner
with us.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't need to reveal who my gay friends
are. Of course.
But I was like, and then make my aunt and uncle sit with them throughout a dinner
yeah.
and be like, and they're like, those were really nice boys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, aren't
that
they?
That is how it works. Yeah. Crazy.
You just never had dinner with a gay people
before.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. I like Ellen.
They eat just like us.
Right.
It turns out, at least at the table.
They eat food.
Yeah. Most of them eat food.
Right. It's most.
Most gay guys eat food.
Yeah. Some eat none.
I know some who can't possibly based
Soylent.
On their bodies.
Right. Gnarly.
Elliot, thank you so much for coming on the
Thanks
pod.
For having
so
me.
We've been trying to get this going for so
I'm
long.
I'm so glad we
yeah.
could.
Let's talk a little bit about your podcast, You're Making It Worse.
Yeah, it's called You're Making It Worse. It's me, The comedians Brent Sullivan and H. Allen Scott.
Love them.
We're just talking about how being gay can be a nightmare and how we're not really good at it.
When I first moved to LA, I ran into Brent Sullivan. We met doing like a comedy show, but then I ran into him three different times at gay bars where I happened to be with gay friends. And I could see Brent being like, I'm pretty sure this dude's in your street.
Well,
like,
wait, isn't
keep
he?
Keep running into him again. I was like, trust me when I say.
Believe me. Believe me when I say. Yeah, no, but that's just us. We just talk about like the struggles and the trials and tribulations, but it's all done through comedy. It's not like a sad podcast.
That's awesome. And then you've been doing this live show called Haunting Renditions, which is so fucking fun to
thanks.
Watch. Yes.
Yeah, it's a live show with a full band. I was initially went to school to be an opera singer. Dropped out of that very quickly.
This your Haunting Renditions features something, two of my favorite elements of comedy, and one of them may come across as offensive, but my two favorite elements of comedy is like huge swings and self-indulgence. And there's a little dose of both with Haunting Renditions. I mean, and it's you're a very talented singer.
Thank you. Thanks.
In addition to being a funny guy, you're a very talented singer. But the element of just like, this is kind of what I want to do. It makes me enjoy the show that much
thanks.
More.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. So we're doing that December 9th at Littlefield in New York in Brooklyn.
Nice.
Yeah.
Guys.
And then LA again in January. And then I do festivals.
Yeah. Follow you on Twitter at Elliot.
Yeah. All that Instagram, Elliot Glazer, ElliotGlazer.com. HauntingReditions.com. It's all there.
You'll find it, assholes.
You'll
just
find
look.
It.
Well, Elliot, thank you so much for coming
thank
on.
You.
Yes. When are you going to get the island tattoo?
Oh, very soon.
Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.